It doesn't matter where they have come from, whatever armed nations they have, if they got what belongs to me, I am going after them. The victories of the battles you will ever fight in life don't depend on any human being. They depend on what God has put within you. You are a Christian, there is no reason you should suffer any loss in life. God has deposited enough power and ability inside you. You will always win every battle.
There are certain factors that you need in life with which you can produce changes in your life when those changes become necessary. There are certain factors that you can use to make things change in your life whenever those changes are needed. If there is any area in your life where you need some changes, if you would apply these methods, if you would apply these factors, you can produce those changes in your life. The first of these factors is the power of your mind. These factors that produces change in our lives, God has put these factors within our reach such that each of us could produce changes in our lives when we need to produce the changes. A lot of times, people stay in a certain position in life for a long time because they didn't know what to do. If you know what to do to make those changes happen in your life, you will do it and the changes will happen. Sometimes some people have become so familiar with the position they are in life that they think that is God's position for them. They think as far as their life is concerned, that is God's desire for their lives. They think that is God's design. That's God's plan. And you hear some people say it could never be perfect for anybody. That's not what God said. In Apostle John's letter, he said by the Spirit, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as your soul prospereth. That is to say, God wants your life moving forward, not stagnant, moving forward. He wants things to get better for you. In any area of your life where you desire an increase, where you desire a positive change, God desires that change more than you. And he has made provision for that changes to occur. The mind that you have is not an ordinary thing. It is a very powerful tool. And if I may say, a very powerful spiritual tool. The mind is not ordinary. The mind is the seat for changes. The changes that will happen in your life, you need your mind to make those changes happen. And for most changes that need to happen in our lives, if our mind is not changed, even if you change everything else around us, our mind, we make those things that you change to return to where they were. For example, if a person considers himself poor and he needs money, he says, I wish I can have money. If anybody gives me a million now, I'm made forever. I will start a business and I will be okay for the rest of my life. Sometimes when I hear people say that, I say, what will you do with the million if you get it? He said, I'll just invest it into a business. I said, business like what? Well, I don't know yet, but I say, if you get a million, you won't change. Your situation will not change for long. It could only change for a while. I say, if you want to have a business, don't wait for the million. Let that business come up in your mind. If your mind can hold a business, that mind will attract the money that is necessary for that business to come through. Don't wait for the million. Start with your mind. If your mind can formulate a business, it will come through. A lot of times when people have conflict, maybe in a home, in a marriage, and they say, the way to have peace is communication. Let's sit down and talk. A lot of times they just sit down and start talking. You did this, you didn't do this, you didn't do this, you didn't do this. And then sometimes they end up in another fight. Before your mouth starts talking, your mind should work, do some work. The power of your mind is so strong, it could produce any change that is necessary. You don't just have a mind for having sake. You have a mind because you were created in the same image as God. You have God's image. You are not an ordinary person. You are another kind of a God. In Genesis chapter 1 from verse 2, the Bible said, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The earth was without form and void. It was shapeless and it was useless. That's what it means. It was shapeless, disorganized, scattered, and it was void. It was useless. But God needs this earth to accomplish his dream. God has a dream. I've told you before that man is the center point of God's eternal dream. God needs the earth and the man on the earth to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And that same earth became without form and void. On Wednesday, we explained how that happened. God didn't want the earth to remain without shape and be useless. That was not what he wanted. So God needed a change in the situation. And what would God do to produce that change? The Bible said in the same verse, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And I explained that to you before, that God was not just perambulating. Now, in case you are hearing me say this for the first time, the Spirit of God is not a wind. The Spirit of God is not a gas. The Spirit of God is not a smoke. The Spirit of God is a person. A person is a spirit. He has a form. I didn't say God is a human being, but God is a person. And when we go through the Bible, we realize that he looks like man. I mean, man looks like him in structure. Because the Bible shows to us, firstly, he moved. The Spirit of God moved. So that there's a means of movement. You understand what I'm trying to explain to you? It's not just a wind that fills everywhere. He moves like from one place to another. But I thought God is everywhere. Yeah, God is everywhere, but he moves. You see, I don't understand that. That's why he's God. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said. And I told you before, maybe on the Wednesday class, I will explain to you in details how we find out what God was doing, why he was moving upon the face of the waters. Jesus revealed it when he said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when God said, he was speaking from the abundance of his heart. What he has been meditating on, he began to speak. To produce change in your life, it is not by how much you seek, talk to people. It is by how much you make use of your mind. When you spend time using your mind to think aright, not long, your life will start to move aright. I love what the man of God, Pastor Chris, said. He said, you are where you are today because of the thoughts you did yesterday. Where you are going to be tomorrow is dependent on how much you use your mind today. How many of you have seen the book, Power of Your Mind, written by Pastor Chris Oyakhilome? If you have not seen that book, you need to get it. If you have seen it, you need to read it. And if you have read it, you need to read it again. In case you don't have a copy of that book, I think we got them in the bookshop. Go get one. The Power of Your Mind. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Why? Because his mind already conceived that light. If God didn't spend time to use his mind to organize what he was going to do and how he was going to do it, God could have made man first and not have light for the man. But God has planned everything out in his mind. Listen, brothers and sisters, mind is not just an ordinary machine that is driving erratically. The mind is supposed to be a machine for producing changes. So, the thoughts that come to your mind, situations that you find, they are materials that you give to your mind to produce the change that you want. The power of your mind. In Genesis chapter 15, in chapter 12, God has called a man called Abram. And he began to explain to Abram the purpose for which he called him. Genesis chapter 12 from verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. Next verse. Make of thee a great nation, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God was promising this man that he was going to be the center point for the blessing of the whole world. But this man didn't have a child. Genesis chapter 15, verse 5. Now, God has promised this guy a wonderful life. And he told him he was going to give him the whole land of Canaan. But this man didn't have a child. I want to read from verse 1. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in the vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. Now, this is what is going on here. God has told this guy, I'm giving you the whole land, all this land of Canaan. I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to so bless you that you will become the reference point of blessing in the whole world. If anybody is looking for blessing, he has to come and look for Abraham. That's what God was saying to this man. Because of the blessing that I will bless you, anyone that gets connected to you will become blessed. Abraham said to God in verse 2, what will thou give me? In other words, you are blessing me with all these things. I don't have a child. What is the use if I own the whole world and I don't have a child to inherit them? It's going to be no use to me after all. Next verse. Abraham still talking. Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is my heir. Next verse. Verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. I'm going to give you a child. Next verse. Now listen to what's happening here. God has been talking to this guy about having a child, having a son, having a family, having nations born through him. But Abraham could not see how these things were going to happen. Then God decided to help him out. And God brought him forth abroad. What that means is God took Abraham by the hand and say, come with me, Abraham. We have been talking this thing is long enough. Come with me, Abraham. God took Abraham outside and said, look up in the sky. God and Abraham outside Abraham's house. And then God said, look up in the sky. And Abraham was looking up in the sky. He said, count the stars. God is awesome. He says, I'm the one who's telling you are going to have children. You are looking at yourself and you don't count the stars. Let's see. Then Abraham began to count. 1, 2, 3, 4. Did I count this one before? Oh, I'll start again. 1, 2, 3, 4. Where did I start? Lord, I can't count it. He said, that's how your children will be. He said, your children are going to become a wonder. There will be so many and they will be so wonderful. You try to count them, you can't count them. Now, I explained to you some time ago when we're teaching, I think it was either on Sunday or on a Wednesday. I was explaining, I said, when God was talking to Abraham about the stars, he had already talked to him before about the sand. So he already gave him a picture of sand for number. When he was talking to him about the stars, he was not just talking about number this time. He says, and tell the stars. Now, the word that was translated stars here is actually a singular word, which means the body of stars. So what God was saying to Abraham, he says, and tell the stars. In other words, can you interpret the stars for me? Can you look at the stars and tell me where they came from? Can you look at the stars and tell me where they are going to? Abraham, tell me if you are so smart. I'm promising you a child and you are arguing with me. I have Eliezer. Is this not God that is talking to you? Brothers and sisters, listen. Whatever it is God tells you in your life, take your mind away from your environment. Take your mind away from your prevailing circumstance. God is able to do whatever he says. That's why he's God. At the beginning of this year, God told us that every month through this year, our life is going to move forward and forward. Your life is going to get better every month. So you take your mind away from, what about some months that things will go back? Stop thinking that way. Life gets better, sometimes it gets worse, things go good, and sometimes life is up and down. That's with man, not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Luke 1:37 says, with God, all things are possible. What did the Bible say in Proverbs? It says the path of the just is like the shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. Your life gets better every time. That's God's word concerning you. God took Abraham outside and said to him, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars. God spent time to train Abraham's mind until Abraham knew how to think like God. And he began to produce changes in his own life. By the end of Abraham's life, the Bible said that Abraham was rich in all things. There was not one thing that Abraham didn't have that anybody would desire to have. And he had children. Then Abraham also taught his own son, Isaac. The Bible said that Isaac was meditating. He was using his mind, the power of his mind. In Genesis chapter 32, let's start from 31. The grandson of Abraham was serving his uncle Laban in a place called Paddan Aram. He has been there for about 20 years. Now, this man called Jacob was serving his uncle. Some of you might be familiar with the story of Jacob and Laban. Jacob wanted to marry Laban's daughter. Laban said, "You have to serve me for 7 years before I give you a daughter to marry." Nowadays, you don't serve for 7 months. They just marry. They don't even serve. He said, "You have to serve me for 7 years." That guy was smart. He needed some service. And he used his daughter to buy the service. "Serve me free for 7 years. I'll give you a daughter to marry." And the guy served with all his mind. You see it in the Bible. He served with all his power because he was desiring to marry this beautiful girl, Rachel. And at the end of the 7 years, today is the seventh year. "Can we get the wedding done?" He said, "No, the policy is that weddings are done in the night." Why not in the day?" He said, "You have to wait till night." They waited till night and he brought Leah instead of Rachel. "But I asked for Rachel." He said, "You have to marry Leah first." "All right, I'll marry Leah. Can I also have Rachel?" He said, "Another 7 years." This guy didn't have servants. And here comes somebody who brought himself to him as a servant. Yeah, if you let him go now, then where will he get another servant from? He says, "Another 7 years." Another 7 years. He said for another 7 years in order to marry Rachel. And after another 7 years, he says, "Now I've married two wives from you. Could you just bless me with some property so that I can take care of the women?" He said, "You serve for another 7 years. You know, you can have some things." He said, "All right, we'll serve." Now, Genesis chapter 31. Let's look at it from verse 2. Now, Jacob was getting tired of this uncle's style. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. Laban was beginning to look towards Jacob in a way that was different from before. Why? God was blessing Jacob. He was getting richer and richer every year. Why? Laban didn't know what was going on. Jacob has learned a trick from his father, Isaac. That was to use the power of his mind. He understood the power of your mind. Then one day, as he has lived all these years without putting the power of his mind to work, you could have a tool, a powerful tool, and not use it. This guy has a powerful mind. He didn't put it to work. So one day, God had to come and remind him, "You are crying for a change in your life. The answer is in your mind. Use your mind. You can produce a change in this situation." As I'm talking to you today, brothers and sisters, I can see millionaires amongst you. Let's go through this. Next verse. Now, Jacob had called his wives and was telling them, "Listen, the way your dad has been looking at me this recently, I don't think it's very favorable. We need to make a move." And the Lord said unto Jacob, "Return unto the land of thy fathers, unto thy kindred, and I will be with thee." Go on, next verse. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock. Next verse. And said unto them, "I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father had been with me. Next verse. And ye know, with all my power, I have served your father. Next verse. And your father had deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. He wanted to make me a poor man, but God didn't allow it. Brothers and sisters, your environment don't determine who you become in life. The color of your skin does not determine who you become in life. If this word were to remain for much longer, my own son will become prime minister in Australia. Your skin doesn't hold you. It's your mind that can hold you. He says, God won't allow him hurt me. He wanted me poor, but God didn't allow it. Next verse. If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said the ring straight shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring straight. Because Laban was trying to cheat this young man, Jacob. He says, all right, from now on, all the cattle that will be born, the one that has speckled on it will be your children. He has observed it. I don't think any of this one can bear speckle. So anyone that bears speckle will be your own wage. That's your pay. Then every other one is mine. Then Laban will come. All the cattle that have been born, they are all speckled. He says, what's going on? Okay, from now on, all the ones that are in straight are your own. Jacob, he has changed the wage. But when he comes back, all the cattle starts to bear ring straight. That's what Jacob was saying. He says, if he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. Huh? And if he said thus, the ring straight shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring straight. Something was going on here. Next verse. Thus God had taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. Next verse. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring straight, speckled, and grizzled. Next verse. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here I am. Next verse. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring straight, speckled and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I will explain to you these verses very quickly before we finish. Jacob was telling his wives how his wealth came about. He said, God sent an angel to tell me, Jacob, use the power of your mind to determine where the wealth goes. So if you are here in this land, you can use the power of your mind to determine where your life goes. You want to be a millionaire? Don't complain. Don't keep talking. I don't know why there's no job. Use the power of your mind and direct where your life goes. That was what the angel came to tell Jacob. He said, stop talking and playing small. There is power in your mind. Use that mind and produce wealth for yourself. And he gave him the trick. He says, look, lift up thine eyes. Lift up now thine eyes. All these years, you have put the eyes of your mind down. And you have been using your physical eyes to just look at things happening anyhow. Stop that. Pull up the mind. Pull up your mind. Put the eyes of your mind to work. And start to look. Look, look, look properly with your mind. That was what he was telling Jacob. He said, lift up now thine eyes. Now, he was not talking about the physical eye. Can you lift up your eyes? Your eyes are where they are. If you look up, you can only see sky. That was not what he was talking about. He says, lift up now thine eyes and see with the eyes of your mind and see. So Jacob knew, I know what my dad taught me those days. Yes, I think I know what to do. So he starts to use the power of his mind. So if you go to the previous verse, he was telling them what he did. He was telling his wives what he did. He says, when he watched the animals, when they were mating, he said he used his mind, the power of his mind, to control what was going on inside their DNA. God has given us enough power in our mind. We don't need to put no chip in nobody. We can control their DNA. We can control the activities in our world. But the power, the first power is in our mind. Subsequent weeks, I'm going to show to you the other powers that is available to man. There is so much power in your mind. Jacob said he used the power of his mind as the angels reminded him. He put the power of his mind to work. As the animals came to mate, he used the power of his mind. He was manipulating their DNA with the power of his mind. Ring straight, come out. Ring straight, come out. He was seeing ring straight when the wages were supposed to be being straight, and ring straight started to be coming out. When it was supposed to be speckled, he decided ring speckled. From the power of his mind, he was seeing them speckled. He was seeing them speckled. He was seeing them speckled. And that was what happened. Brothers and sisters, there is so much power in your mind. Stop seeing your situation the way they look to the ordinary eyes. Start seeing them the way the word of God says. The day I heard from Reverend Tom that as a Christian I'm not supposed to be sick, I started to see myself well every time. And I went about telling everybody, brother, I'll never be sick in my life again. I will never be sick in my life again. Sister, I will never be sick in my life again. He says, why? Because the health of God is at work in my body. He says, why? The spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that same spirit dwells in my mortal body. I know the truth now. If you know the truth and you can put your mind to work, your life can never go down. Your life will only go up. Let's give God some praise. Let's give him worship. There is power in your mind. The devil can't hold you back. There is power in your mind. Your life is moving forward.
We trust that you have been blessed by this message. If you have not been born again, I want to lead you into salvation right now, the Bible way. This is your opportunity to receive salvation. Say these words after me and mean them from the bottom of your heart, and God will hear you. Say, O Lord God, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross to save my soul. I believe God raised him from the dead, and he is alive today. I confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. From this day, I receive by faith eternal life into my heart. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I have eternal life now. I am born again. I am a child of God. From this day, amen. Congratulations, you are now a child of God. To receive more information on how you can grow as a Christian, please send us an email at info@cesydney.org. That is info@cesydney.org. God bless you.